Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dr. Paul Kamanu. Over the next few minutes, the Word of God will be taught with simplicity, power, and a sense of humor. For over two decades, Dr. Kamanu's teachings have gone throughout the world with tremendous reports coming from people whose lives have been radically impacted. Get your Bible, take notes, and allow the Holy Spirit to touch you through the teaching ministry of Dr. Paul Kamanu.
Amen. We believe we have a word from the Lord for us tonight. Is that all right? Amen. I'm not here to tell jokes. Amen. I'm not here to tell you about the Hawaiian Islands, as beautiful as it is. You don't need to know about Hawaii. You need to know about heaven. Amen. Amen. I hear a lot of preachers on Christian television say, don't worry about going to heaven. God, we're not going to be kings and priests in heaven. They said, it's better for us to stay on earth. Well, they can have the earth. See, I was ready in the old church. The old church, they got you ready to go someplace. Amen. God didn't save us for us to stay here and live in sin. Come on, somebody. Amen. I'm going to tell it like it is, preachers. I might step on your toes. I'm pretty heavy. And if I step your toes, I'm going to pray that Jesus heals you. Is that all right? Amen. It's going to be okay. Amen. Amen. We honor the Spirit of the Lord that's here. Pastor, thank you for being very, very sensitive to the Spirit of God. We need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. You know, I'm a nobody. You're a nobody, but He is somebody. Amen. Amen. If it wasn't for Him, we wouldn't be here. Tell the truth. Amen. If it wasn't for Jesus, we would not be here. But thank God one day He decided to save the people in this community, amen? This is like loaded bar. If you read the scriptures, this is loaded bar where people just pass through. But thank God the good word came to loaded bar one day, amen? I love the story about Zacchaeus. The Bible says Jesus is going to pass through Jericho. Then he decided, well, let me go and see the richest guy in this city because the saints been praying all week long, saying, God, we need a break. We need some money. We can't pay the mortgage, can't buy the food. And that day Jesus says, I must needs stop by your house. When Jesus showed up and he went into the house of Zacchaeus, well, you know what the Bible says in Luke's gospel, right? The Bible says Zacchaeus stood in the very presence of the Lord, got so convicted, gave his heart to the Lord and repented and said, if I have taken anything by fraudulency, I'm going to restore fourfold. The saints were lined up at the door that day at Zacchaeus' house. Come on, somebody. I don't know how God's going to bring our miracle, but we need to be ready to receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes we get concerned about the mail carrier. I don't care who delivers my mail. As long as the check is in it, I'll accept it in Jesus' name. Say amen. Amen. Amos chapter 3, if you're there, say amen. Okay, I'm going to ask you to stand because we'll stand for the Word of God. Don't stand for me. Don't stand for anybody else. But you stand for the Word of God. We'll begin reading in verse number 3. I love this. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where there is no snare set for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in the city and the Lord hath not done it? Holy Spirit just spoke to me and says, that's a lot of questions I'm asking. Holy Spirit just said, he said, tell him that's a lot of questions I'm asking. What's the answer? You see, we think we know everything, but we hardly know anything. Holy Spirit will come and ask us some questions. Now watch this. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people be not afraid? That's a warning sound right there. Shall there be an evil in the city and the Lord hath not allowed it to happen? The Lord done it. God doesn't cause, but he certainly allows. Bill Clinton became president. God didn't cause it, but he allowed it. George Bush became president. God didn't cause it, but he allowed it. Your governor became governor. God didn't cause it, but he allowed it. See, because there's a lot of people walking around your street saying, how can bad things happen to good people? God doesn't cause it, but he'll allow it. Job was minding his own business. Chapter 1 and 2 of his writings tells us. God instigated this thing against Job. It wasn't Job's fault. God's a good God. Tell him God's a good God. Talk to your neighbor. This is a talking church, right? Say, God's a good God. And the devil's a bad devil. As long as you know that, then you'll be okay. Now let's read on here. Listen to what it says. Shall there be evil in the city, and the Lord hath not allowed it to happen? Now look at verse 7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing unless he reveals his secret unto his servants, the prophets. The lion hath roared, and who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken, who can but prophesy? Publish in the palaces in Ashdod, in the palaces in the land of Egypt, and say, assemble yourselves upon the mountains of Samaria, and behold the great tumults in the midst thereof. And the oppressed in the midst thereof. Verse 10. For they know not to do right, saith the Lord, who store up violence and robbery in their palaces. Let's pray. Father, we appreciate you more than words could ever express. We remember when we were filled with asthma and we were dead, but you raised us up. We remember, God, when we were in a nasty car accident, which should have killed us, but you spared our life. We remember when our aircraft slammed on that tarmac that should have crashed, but you said not so. We remember you tonight. And God, from this beautiful community, we lift up our voice and we make a declaration to the heavenlies. We serve notice to principalities and powers that the prince of this area is now restrained in Jesus' name. We loose God's anointing upon this community and the connecting communities in Jesus' name. I prophesy that this airport up here in Pelston shall be used to bring in people who are ambassadors of God to preach tremendous words throughout this entire region. I prophesy that jets shall land and bring people in here for the glory of the kingdom of God. Father, I thank you for the growth of this ministry. I thank you for the seasoned saints. I thank you, God, from the north, south, east, and west. You're speaking to their heart right now. And you're bringing them in for such a time as this. We honor you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Let the real church say, be seated in the presence of the Lord.
God wrote his love on a hillside so long, long ago. For you and for me, Jesus died, and love's greatest story was told.
The Bible is rife with stories about famines. The Bible tells us a lot from the book of Genesis throughout the entirety of the Word of God of the devastating results of famines. One of the kings of Israel was so aggravated because famine had inundated the Holy Land. The people began to turn to cannibalism. The real individual comes out whenever a crisis shows up. When prosperity is in the land, everybody is happy. We can buy 3 boats, 3 SUVs, have 2 homes and a vacation house and be happy. But the moment we are in a bind, we're in a fix, the true character of the individual shows up. I'm talking truth right now. There's a lot of people who can put a smile on their face, but on the inside, there's turbulence going on. We have learned how to address the outside person and conceal the inward man. But this church has to do, and all churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, has to deal with the tripartite of the individual, spirit, soul, and body. We come here today to assemble to hear a word from God. In Matthew chapter 4, the Lord Jesus, speaking to the devil, said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." It's good to have a message. It's good to have a sermon. But I want to know what God is saying now. We need to have a now word from God. Amen. What's the proceeding word from God that's coming out of his mouth right now? He sits on the throne in heaven. What's he speaking to your community? What's he saying to New Life? What's he saying to Pastor Dan? What's he saying to the church? He has a now word for this ministry. You don't have to watch TBN and get a word from somebody else's church. God has a word for your church. Spirit of the Lord spoke to me today, and I got a strange message. You know, it's going to go counter to your banner up here. Yes, there's going to be revival in the land, but not the type of revival you expect to see. Because everybody who's shouting and singing, not saved. They're singing about the blood of Jesus that never touched them. They're boasting about, you know, being like a deer, but they're more like a buck. Oh, come on, somebody. They're acting like they're a sheep, but they're really a goat. And we're talking about those in a sheepfold. We're not talking about the outside. I don't care what happens on the outside. We got to get concerned about the inside. So I'm going to talk to you today about, listen, there's going to be a coming famine in this land. Your word declares it. I'm going to give you the scripture verse in a little bit. But if you go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 41, there's a very first story that we really can hold on to. God visited the George Bush of his day, Pharaoh, the world leader. God gave him a dream. In the dream, he says, "I'm going to show you something that even you can't figure out." In the book of Job, Job writes, he tells us, when God wants to communicate, he'll speak to us through dreams and visions. The reason God does it, according to the words of Job, is to turn man away from his set agenda. You know, we all have our plans, right? We all got our set agendas. But God wants to come and change it. God wants to alter our plan so that we can be aligned with his plan. Bible says there's a way that seemeth right. And many of you are on the seemeth right way. But he says the end is destruction. You don't want to go down that road. So the Lord will give you a vision. He'll give you a dream to turn you. To turn you from the path that you're heading down even right now. In Genesis chapter 41, we come across a story about Pharaoh. Pharaoh was warned by God. May I tell you, God's speaking to George Bush. He's speaking to Mr. Putin over in Russia. He's speaking to that North Korean that wants to nuke us. He's speaking to that berserk president over in Iran. He's speaking to people. He's telling them, if you do what you think you're going to do, I will destroy you. See, God said, I put everybody in office and I can take them out. Your vote, my vote doesn't put them in office. God puts them in office. Revelation 17:17 says, the reason God does it is to fulfill his word. His word needs to take precedent over our bylaws in our churches. Some churches are so deacon possessed, they can't go forward. Some churches are so oppressed by leadership because they want to hold the Holy Spirit out. Listen to me. You can't hold him out. Amen. You can't hold him out. Jesus says he's coming when I leave. 2,000 years ago, he showed up. And here we're not even 40 years old thinking we're holding him back. 30 years old, 20 years old, 57 years old. You can't hold back the Holy Spirit. Man, he tried and all failed. You go to some church, well, we don't allow that in this church because, you know, we can't control him. That's right. That's right. I've been in churches where they fan somebody that begins to get blessed by God. Worst thing you can do to a fire is to put wind on it. Worst thing you can do to flames is to fan it. It's going to cause a bigger flame. Come on, somebody. Ask them people in California when the Santa Ana winds come in. The mountains will be perfect with the fires, but when the wind blows, more acres will go. And I'm telling you, God wants to launch through our churches. Amen. He wants to go from aisle to aisle, from pew to pew, and touch us and touch us thoroughly. There are Pharaoh's minding his own business. Genesis chapter 41, you can turn there. He's minding his own business. You know, he's living in prosperity, got all what he want. He comes out of his palace, he looks, and he watches the pyramids rise up, and everything's going good. What do I need? I have all my gods here. What do I need? And one night, the real God gives him a dream. And this so troubles Pharaoh, he doesn't know what to do. He gets up and he calls his leaders. He says, y'all better tell me what I dreamt. None could. But thank God there was a butler there in the house. And he says, oh, please forgive me, Pharaoh. He said, you know, there is somebody who can interpret your dream. But he's not an Egyptian. He's not one of us. Pentecostals would be very shocked to find out God is using people who are not like us. I'm born and raised Pentecostal, but you know what? We better wake up because we've been too snotty. We've been too pride, too proudful. We think we think God moves only on our agenda. God starts moving. He'll touch the Catholics. He'll touch anybody who will just give ear to him. He'll bypass us. Listen, God will bypass a smug Pentecostal church to go and touch the Baptists who are dead across the street. He wants somebody who will at least do something. I'm in the right church, huh? Don't get mad. I'm leaving right after this. Got my car. I'm out of here. Don't worry about it. So here's Pharaoh. He comes out and now the word goes, go get Joseph. Hey, Joseph, he'd been faithful all those years in prison. You know, I like the story about Joseph. We learn about him, you know, and he's Rachel's daughter, Rachel's son, and he's a favorite, 17 years old. His daddy makes him a coat of many colors. This is a free thing I'm giving you. He gives him a coat of many colors, and he goes out there, and his brothers cannot stand him. Because he was daddy's favorite. Parents never have a favorite child. Treat them all correctly in the same way. Amen. You ought not to. The Bible has a lot of stories about parents playing favoritism. Isaac and Rebecca made that big mistake. One of them has a friend named Joseph. He now is sent by his daddy to go and find his brothers. But the problem was he was a dreamer. And the dreams God gave him said, this is what's going to happen. But God didn't tell him when. You know, teenagers think they know everything. Come on now. He was 17 years old and thought he was 48. Come on. Trying to tell his brothers what to do. He had some brothers old enough to be his daddy. They had sons. They had children. And they're listening to their brothers. Y'all bow down to me. And they said, well, I'll take you back there and whoop you, boy. What's wrong with you? Then the Bible says, the daddy just listened and said, what's he saying? He said, I saw the stars and the sun and moon bow down to me. They said, I'm going to whoop you today, boy. See, but nobody understood. And Joseph didn't understand that God was speaking. And he needed someone to interpret. Let me tell you something. God will not only invade your dreams, but he'll give you an interpretation of what he's telling you. God is not a question God. God won't show you something, make you walk around for the rest of your life. Huh? What was that? Duh. That's not the kind of God we serve. Amen. We do not serve a duh God. God tells us what we need to know. Well, he goes out there to find his brothers, and the Bible says he's out there, and he gets lost. He's lost, and somebody finds him and says, well, your brother down by Dothan or somewhere. Go and find him. Bible says as he approaches, they see his coat of many colors. And one of them said, here comes the dreamer. Let's kill the dreamer, they said. Let's not whoop him, let's kill him. Why? Because daddy's sure playing favorites with us. Well, I want you to understand something. Rachel couldn't have children. Leah could. Rachel was beautiful. Leah wasn't. When Rachel couldn't have children and Leah was having all them children, she gave her handmaid. She had children and Rachel couldn't until Joseph showed up. So Joseph was not going to be a problem child, but he was a special child. And nobody in the family, this dysfunctional family, nobody knew how to handle Joseph. And there's somebody in this ministry, or several of you, that nobody knows how to handle. You speak seemingly out of turn. God's trying to use you and nobody has a clue as to why you're saying what you're saying. But don't, listen to me, don't rain on their parade. Pray that God gives an interpretation. God, pray that God gives an understanding. Because God always puts, listen, within earthen vessels, he places treasures. Sometimes we kind of look at somebody, we want him to be a certain way. God's a God of variety. Aren't you glad for that? I mean, God's a God of variety. He creates all kinds of stuff. I was just telling the people the other day, I said, how can the brown dirt bring forth a carrot that's orange? And a lemon that's yellow? And a cabbage that's green? Well, come on, somebody. How can a black and white cow eat green grass and bring us white milk? How? Somebody tell me how. God's a God of variety. He has a lake with all kinds of fish in it. God is not a trout God. He's an all kinds of fish God. Amen. He's not just a salmon God. He's a God of all fish. Aren't you glad about that? He's a variety God. So the church needs to be filled with a variety of people. I'm going to get this tape. I'm going to listen to it again. So here's Pharaoh. He calls for Joseph. Joseph understands protocol in Egypt that Egyptian men didn't have beards. Egyptian men dressed a certain way. Bible says the first thing Joseph did was shave himself and change his clothes. We need to learn protocol in the house of God. God's not the author of confusion. What the man of God did tonight takes precedent over me, President Bush, or the world leader. This is God's house. Let God do what he wants to do. Amen. When God has his way, we will be blessed. May not get out on time, but we will be blessed. Say amen, somebody. Well, anyhow, you know, Joseph stands before Pharaoh. Pharaoh's like, I got a problem. I got all these people on staff that cannot interpret my dream. I'm paying them, they're cashing their checks, and I want to know why my smart boys can't tell me what's going on. Joseph is so cool. You see, he's no longer 17 years old. He's 30 when he's standing before Pharaoh. Sometimes it takes a little while for us to mature. At 30 years of age, he stands before Pharaoh, and the first thing he says is, Pharaoh, I know someone who can interpret your dream. Don't worry about it. He begins to tell Pharaoh what's going to happen. He says, Pharaoh, you saw two different scenarios in one dream. It's one dream, Pharaoh, but you saw two different things. You know, before, in the Pentecostals, we don't go to movies. I was raised in an old church. You go to a movie, Jesus comes back, you die and go to hell. If Jesus don't come back and one of the saints see you at the movie house when they drive past, they'll tell the pastor, they'll tell your parents, and you're still going to die and go to hell. They're not going to wait for God. They'll kill you by themselves. But if you saw movies, they'd always have what is called a trailer. And on the trailer, it's not something to pull something, y'all. A trailer is about coming attractions. I'm telling you, if you open your eyes right now, God is showing us coming attractions. He's telling his church what's going to happen. That guy's going nuts over in Iran. God's saying, don't worry about it. Persia had their day. Daniel chapter 2. Persia had their day. Don't fret not over this short joker. Don't worry about him. I got him tamed. I mean, the Hezbollah is rising up and Hamas is rising up. Al-Qaeda, everybody's afraid of bin Laden. Call the mafia on them. If they can find anybody, hire the mafia, President Bush. They'll find bin Laden. Overnight, they'll find him. So never be afraid of these people. Why? The Bible says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Man, I'm preaching good right here. I'll give myself an offering. What happened? So Pharaoh, he's there. So what's up? He says, you saw seven big, big cows, didn't you? Yes, I did. Boy, I saw seven big cows. Come back to me right now. He says, boy, you know what that? He said, Pharaoh, all due respect, you know what the seven good cows represent? No, what? You're going to have seven good years. That all? He said, no, hang on. We're halfway through this coming attraction. He said, you're going to have seven good years. He said, after that, you saw seven skinny cows, didn't you? Yeah, I saw them skinny cows. What happened? They had AIDS or something? He says, let me tell you something. Those skinny cows ate up the fat cows, didn't they? Yeah. He said, Pharaoh, you're going to get seven bad years. So you're going to be good years. You can have seven good, but there's going to be seven bad. See, prosperity comes, then tribulation follows. All these people winning the lottery, they're happy when their number's called. Then family members they never met show up. You remember me, huh? You my uncle. You my grandma. I ain't never seen you in my life. Never saw you at a family reunion. Who are you? See, every time you're prosperous, the devil shows up. I say it like this. Every time God blesses, the devil messes. I mean, the devil got an impeccable record. He's amazing. You know, he's unemployed. He's never unemployed, right? That devil is full-time employed. Yes. Listen to me. More saints are looking for a job, and the devil never has to look for a job. Somebody said, well, the devil's not in our church. I beg to differ. He's the first one at church. He's not going to miss a message because he wants to know how he can mess everybody else up. Oh, he ain't saying that. He ain't saying all that. He in Hawaii. Who think he is right now telling us right there? And why did Pastor bring him in anyway? It's a midweek service. That's the devil talking. I preach for free if I had to. Don't want to. I hate if I have to. I preach for free. Carl said, what you telling me? He said, man, I'm telling you, God's going to give you 7 power years. But after the power years, the bad years are coming. Pharaoh, this is what you need to do. Hire somebody. Obviously, these guys can't solve your dream. You ain't got them on staff. But you need to find yourself somebody who can take advantage of the good years so when the bad years come, your good years will outdo your bad years. Pharaoh said, I need to look no further. I'm hiring you. Now listen to me. For almost 3 years, Joseph was unemployed in prison. He never filled out an application for a job. Never put down his resume. Come on, somebody. And all of a sudden, he stands before the most powerful man in the planet. And the man says, you're hired. In fact, I'll tell you your wages. And I'll give you your position. I'm number one, you're number two. I ride my chariot, you ride right behind me in the chariot. I will dress you. I'll pay for your housing. I'll even give you a wife. Good God, homie. Will you tap that person by your side and say, God has set you up. Tell him. God has set you up. For what? To be blessed. Oh, Joe comes out of prison. Didn't know he listened. You know what Pharaoh told him that day? Oh, P.S. By the way, you're acquitted. Whatever charge was against you, you're free. And we pray, trying to, God, how this going to work out, Lord? Jesus, please. Tell me, Lord. Show me a sign, Lord. Lord, may I need to see a robin, Lord. Lord, show me a robin and an eagle, Lord. Lord, show me a sparrow, robin, and eagle. Lord, show me a dog walking halfway across the road, getting hit and getting up and walking back. Goodness gracious, what are we doing? God's like, what are you saying? I'm God. You don't have to put my word to the test. Amen. God's not a liar. Yes. Preachers lie. Preachers' wives lie. Preachers' children lie. You know why preachers' children bad, right? They're always with the deacon's kids. Now watch. Preachers can do all things wrong, but God will never do anything wrong. How many of you know God's a good God? Well, we need to act like it. Here, somebody don't know God. They're talking bad about God. I'd shut them down in a moment. Here you in big boy sitting down having your breakfast, somebody cussing out using God's name in vain. I'd put that bacon and eggs to the side and say, excuse me. You don't know my daddy. You talking about my earthly daddy, I'm going to whoop you if I had to. You talk about my heavenly father, I'm going to do something worse. I'm going to put you away, Bubba. You don't talk about him like that. Because he deserves all glory and respect. What's wrong with him? He got an attitude. No, he got no attitude. It's time we stand up for Jesus, amen? Well, anyhow, it happened. The 7 good years came. Everybody's living in prosperity. I don't need God. Who needs God? Oh, you don't know the storm's coming. I'm fine. Praise the Lord. Pastor call you. Huh? I don't see you in church. I'm busy. Got a second job. Yeah, God done bless us, Pastor. I come. I send my tithes. Well, I'll give you offer. I'll give in a building fund, Pastor. I'll help paint the church. We want to pave the lot. What for? We want to put in a new bathroom. Why? Pastor, don't worry about us. We fine. Oh, the storm is coming. David says, Lord, don't let me be so rich that I walk away from you. And please don't let me be so poor that I got to rob somebody. So what happens? 7 good years. Nobody bothers Pharaoh. Year number one of the 7 bad years. Some people, they put away, they understood, they watched. We put some away. But in the second year, they didn't have enough. The third year wasn't enough. Then the word went out around the world. There's food in Egypt. There's provision in Egypt. The Bible said it even reached who? The dream killers out there in the wilderness. Yeah. See, it doesn't matter if you live in a city or the wilderness. When famine time comes, it'll find you. It'll find you. You can be in Moab or you can be in Bethlehem. That famine will track you down. Bible tells us, now, Joseph, he's a different name. He speaks Egyptian now. He's number two next to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's making all kinds of money because of Joseph's ingenuity and Joseph being close to God. Joseph's brothers now got to buy food. Everybody's older. They come in and Joseph spots them and blesses them. You know the story. You can read it. Chapter 42, 43 goes up to chapter 50. Bottom line, Joseph brings them all down. He says, I'm Joseph. I love this verse, Genesis 50, 20. What you meant for evil, God intended for good. He said, brothers, remember you wanted to kill me? If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have your posterity. Listen, we got more years to go in this famine. How's daddy doing? Bring daddy down here. Bring everybody down here. I love you. Don't fear me. I'm for you, not against you. I like that. See, if God can speak to a person who's not a believer, Pharaoh, and God begins to tell him what's going to happen in the world, we believers better perk up. Jeremiah chapter 3 tells us a story. The second point here, Jeremiah was warned of God. He says, you just tell Zedekiah what I said. They don't want to listen. God raises up Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar comes and takes the Jews out of Israel and Jerusalem and takes them to Babylon. You know, the only reason God will allow the outsiders, the unbelievers, to come into his church and do that is because the church refused to listen to God. When we won't hear and take correction from those in the body of Christ, God will bring somebody outside the body of Christ. But you see, that's not God's way of doing things because they're not a part of God's kingdom. The Bible says in Romans, there's three things that we can be assured of in God's kingdom: righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Wish all churches had that. Hell of Jesus. Wish all churches had righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Why we got to leave church mad? I don't understand. Why we got to leave worse than we first walked in? I don't understand. Man, this is better than McDonald's. We take communion. It's the happy meal. Any sickness in your body, you can be healed. My God, we don't realize in the body of Christ what we have. Here we're looking across the street at some dead people in a dead church. And because their building's nicer than ours, we need that. We don't need that. They need what we have. We need a good dose of the Holy Ghost back in our churches. Amen. We need God to be God in his church again. Touch your people once again, dear God. The Bible tells us Jeremiah was told by the Lord, don't worry about Jeremiah. I'll be with you all the way, Jeremiah. I put you in there to build up and to pull down. Be a man, Jeremiah. Don't worry about how they look. Don't worry. I'll be with you every step of the way. One day they threw Jeremiah in prison. Lord, where are you, Lord? Lord, Lord, where are you, Lord? Then they threw him in the muck, the Bible said, the mire up to his neck, Lord. Ever been like that? He said, Jesus, you told me to do this, and now everybody turn on me. He'll allow, but he doesn't cause. You know this cross right here? If you went to Calvary 2,000 years ago, you're a homicide detective. And you took the fingerprints on the cross, you took the fingerprint on the crown of thorns, and on the spikes, the nails, you'd find God's fingerprint there. You'd look at that and say, no, can't be, let's run another test. The devil did that. Mm-mm. Bible says if he knew what he was doing, he would have never done it. Talk about the devil. Talking about the devil. If he knew he was crucifying the Lord of glory, he would have never done it. God hid it from him. There are things that God would hide from us, saints. God's not going to show us everything. We are not capable of handling everything. God shows us the two we're going to go through, two. But he don't show us the through process that he'll have to take us. Shoot, if God wants to tell you, okay, this is what's going to happen. Now, the first people in the first three rows are going to talk about you. They're going to call you all kinds of names. They're going to have an email sent about you. You never want to serve Jesus. He said, but this is heaven. I'm going to take you to heaven. Heaven is. There's a lot of hell you got to go through before you get to heaven. Don't tell the truth, Pentecostals. Just don't tell the Baptists. They need to know too. Tell the Methodists while you're at it. I was preaching in the Methodist church over, and I don't mean them no harm, but we're in Glasgow, Kentucky. And they came to me and they said, do you know whose church this is? John Wesley's? No, this is Diane Sawyer's from ABC News. Man, you could hear a pin drop. The place was as dead as a morgue. I said, would to God, this is God's church. The pastor was a new hire pastor. Just got the church. Prestigious church. Richest county in Kentucky. Glasgow, Kentucky. Glasgow County. And he said to me, listen, I don't know you. I give you 30 minutes to preach. They called me in from Hawaii to do a revival. I flew 3,900 miles to preach for 30 minutes. But he's a set man of God. God is not a God of confusion. If he tells me to preach 30 minutes, then I'm going to believe God to stretch time. Knock people out, do something, because I got to deliver a word. When we left that place, after 4 days meeting, people lined up and said, this is the best revival we ever had. I preached and told them about the God of the Bible. Nobody came to church with Bibles. Because that's the kind of church it was. The pastor tell you everything. How many of you know the pastor doesn't know everything? Not even his wife knows everything. The deacon's wives don't know everything. God knows everything. We started telling the story. They came up to me and said, God still speaks. God still speaks. This is a 21st century church. I said, listen, the Lord walked through his church 2,000 years ago. Revelation 2 and 3. He's still walking. And he wants to know who's running his church. First church at Ephesus, he says, to the angel I shall speak. Angel means pastor. I shall speak. By the time he gets to the Laodicean church, he says, anybody hear my voice? Pastor ain't listening no more. Anybody hear my voice? Open the door. We locked him out of his own church. So we're talking about the common family. He said, I can't be family, man. Well, if we go to Amos, now watch this. Amos, go to chapter number 8. Bible says, we read the verse in Amos 3, verse number 7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. So chapter 8, verse 11 says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. I declare that famine is here. I declare, if you watch CNN, and Fox and your local news, you will see that this famine is in many of the mainline denominational churches. Because there is a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. They haven't taken away the Bible, but the people with the Bible are not preaching truth. They're teaching everything. That's why they allow these crazy stuff to happen in the church. There's a famine. And revivals are needed for those who are almost dead. We need to remove ashes so the wind of the Spirit can blow upon our embers and ignite the passion for God again. Where are we, church? The Hawaiian Islands is a place called paradise. There's murders and there's thieveries, all kinds of things that happen in paradise. That can't be paradise. If that's what the paradise Jesus was speaking about with, to that man on the cross next to him, that guy got messed up. But the paradise God got is way better than the paradise up in the UP. It's a beautiful paradise where no fights go on. A place where God has full, total control and people listen to him. This day thou shalt be with me, Jesus told a man. And I'm telling you right now, there are churches who don't even hear from God. We're busy listening to our denominational headquarters. We're busy listening to the latest fashion and the latest, reading the latest book that's number one bestseller. And we're not hearing from God. This is a proceedeth word from God for this church. I stand in the office of an apostle. I'm 30 years in ministry. I pioneered churches. My mama pioneered churches. My daddy pioneered churches. My papa pioneered churches. Never knew God was going to save me. I was playing drums in the church, singing tenor in the choir, and I was on drugs. Don't know why God never struck me dead. I heard preachers talking about a day like this. It's out of sight, out of mind. God saved me, like Pastor Andrew said. And God says, I'm going to call you to preach the gospel. And God sends me to Guadalcanal. God sends me to Papua New Guinea. He sends me to the Philippines. 20 nations of this world. You know what I found out in third world nations? Spiritually, they're more fit than America. We can speak in these nations. I speak in an arena, a coliseum of 15,000 people. And when I speak the word, they get healed. America, you have to coach them. You have to coach them. You need somebody before they get to the stage. You need all these things. That's not the body of Christ. Amen. They need to make you look good for television. On, image is everything.
Yep.
That's not the body of Christ. I want to know where the real God is. Why are we trading God for money? Why are we trading God for gold and silver? Why are we trading God for material possessions? There's a famine that's going on. And the sad thing is this. In a natural famine, you know it. Because it attacks your house. Your children can't eat. Your family can't have anything. But when the spiritual famine comes for hearing the word of the Lord,
hallelujah.
People say, what are you talking about? I go to church. It's not about coming to church. It's not about this, saints. Listen to me. We're in a kingdom that is invincible. God allows us to speak his words through our mouth. God gives us opportunities to do great things, yet we forfeit it by not recognizing the hour that we're in. I've come here from the Hawaiian Islands to challenge your mindset, to challenge your psyche, whatever you want to call it. I come here to tell you, he set me up for preaching 32 times in 35 days here in your state. I got a busy schedule. I'll get on board that plane and I'll go home. I preach in a conference. I got other meetings to preach at, board a jet and go to the Philippines for 3 pastors' conferences. I'm busy. But I've come here to tell you that there's a famine that's going on. And only with spiritual perception will you know it. That's why they have all the different versions of the Bible today. Because people don't want truth anymore. So we appease them by giving them palatable scriptures. But these people cannot lay hands on the sick. They don't believe God heals. They don't believe in a virgin birth. They don't believe in a resurrection. There's a famine in the land today. I heard somebody talking about WWE when I came in. Talking about hardcore Hollywood. Years ago, the Lord spoke to me about helping this one person. He humbled himself and called me. He's a professional heavyweight wrestler. He called me up. He says, Pastor, I need your help. And the Lord says, go ahead and have it. We have a warehouse. We don't have a church like you. We have a warehouse, multi-purpose. So we turned that warehouse into an arena. We built the bleachers and everything. We had professional wrestling twice a month. We'd record it for television and we'd put it on. The Lord says, I'm going to save this man. God saved him. I just talked to him. He's wrestling up in Connecticut. Tried out for the WWE. He's wrestled for TNA. He's done a lot of stuff. I said, Joey, you need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. One day he was wrestling in Mexico. I called him. I said, Joe, don't do your power move. Don't do your power move. Holy Spirit spoke to me and tell you not to do your power move. This guy's like 6'3", 310. And his move is to come off of the rope and just slam somebody. I said, don't do it, Joe. God said not to do it. That night, just before he went up to the top of the ring to do it, the guy that preceded him went up and the thing collapsed. He called me up. He says, Pastor, I would have broke my neck if I did it. Thank you for being my spiritual dad. He's an Italian man, not Hawaiian. He's Italian. And he listened to me. Go figure. He listened to me. Got a restaurant. He came to church one day, Super Bowl Sunday, a couple years ago. We have to come to the mountain to come to where we're at, where we're located on the island. He said, the Lord spoke to him and says, put an extra $50 in the offering today. All right. He put an extra $50 besides his tithe, put his $50, went home, opened up the best Super Bowl Sunday. He has a pizza joint. Best Sunday they ever had. Next day, gets a phone call from the local news affiliate that says, we want to use your restaurant to try to see if our new equipment works, and we want to be live from your place for 3 hours. Free advertisement for 3 hours. $50 investment? Go figure. That one station that he's on, 30-second commercials, prime time, $1,200. They gave him 3 hours of free airtime for a $50 investment. God will pay you back better than the combined banks of the world. No bank tell you they're going to give you 30, 60, and 100 fold. They can't get away from their 0.25%. Come on, somebody. You want to give to God's kingdom. Send missionaries to China. First time I went to the mission field, I was fearful. You hear all these horror stories. We get ready, we go to the mission field, ain't got no prayer covering. We're out there in the mission field with malaria is king. We got mosquitoes here, but they got real deal mosquitoes there. They can kill you. They gave us our malaria pills. We should have taken it 2 weeks prior. We took it going on the aircraft. The guy told me, the guy at the customs says, have you taken any precautions for this? I said, yeah, I got me some mosquito coil. He said, man, what else you got? I said, got that off spray. He said, man, this is malaria. You know what malaria is? My doctor said to us, he says, you're going to die. I have a Jewish doctor. You're going to die. I'll tell your parents, I'll tell your children, they had good parents, but they were dumb. You're coming back in body bags, you're going to die. I don't want you to go. I said, doc, I got the tickets. I got to go. He said, listen to me, Paul, you can't go. If you go, you're going to die. That's how bad malaria is. Well, we went, we came back. The hotel we rented, the interior was white till I left. It was white and red. I killed every mosquito I saw on the wall. It was a spotted room, pretty nice. Well, subsequently, we're going back and forth to not only there, but 19 other nations preaching this gospel. Why is that? Because there is no other message. There is no other thing to tell anybody. I watched them just using precious airtime on television, talking about junk, when we could be telling somebody about Jesus Christ. How many of you would rather be in the house of God than in the best hospital room in the Potowski Hospital? God brought you here for a reason, saints, to equip us. To make us better, not bitter. Amen. To raise us up, not kick us down. And it's time for us to come and unite. You know, God's colorblind. Amen. God's not prejudiced. Amen. He deals with prejudiced people, but God's not prejudiced. Amen. He loves everybody. Missionaries came and told my Hawaiian people, you never preach, but you can be a good deacon. You be a good custodian. How many of you know God will raise us up from being custodians to even being preachers? Come on, somebody. Well, God never use you. You're from the country. God only wants city slickers. God know how to speak to young man. Proper English. That'll leave me out because I can't speak proper. I miss most R's. Come on, somebody. Go figure. I miss it all. Duh. Come on. But in spite of that, God still uses. Because I found out with God, if you're available, he'll use you. Listen, England boasted, I'll close with this. England boasted when they built the Titanic. Put that sign over the bar, they tell us. What the sign say? Not even God can sink the Titanic. One voyage. Halfway through. God didn't sink it. The iceberg did. Professionals built the Titanic. Genesis 6, amateurs built an ark. And the ark floated. And the ark rested. And nobody in the ark was lost. So maybe this ministry is like Noah's ministry. Where you preach for 100 years and only your family is saved. Noah never started. He never built half an ark. He built an ark. And you got to encourage yourself in the Lord when everybody else discourages you. Scripture says, no weapon, Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. That includes us. And then don't stop there. Every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Amen. Stop being a passive Christian. God needs drill sergeant in his army. Come on, he needs gunny sergeants in this army. You want to be so mad, don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. Let me tell you something with the devil. He cares less about your feelings. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It's time we lived at the other side of that verse, abundant life. So I'm here to ask you a question. Y'all living an abundant life here? You got all money that you need? You got all the cars you need? I mean, nothing. You don't have no bills. You so blessed that they give you free electricity? I don't think so. So how do we live in this wild, kingdom and not cross over? I believe in our God. Amen.